The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Between the Synapse with Mark Tobin. If you're looking to learn something useful, you've come to the wrong place. But as Belushi once said, it don't cost nothing. So let's get things started. Here's Mark Tobin.
All right, welcome to Between the Synapse. I am your host, Mark Tobin. Thank you for joining. Before we get started, just a little bit of housekeeping. If you have not checked out my blog, Between the Synapse, please do so when you have a moment. It is betweenthesynapse.com. You can also sign up to receive notices for future shows. It's right there on the right side. All you have to do is put your name and email, and you'll receive weekly notices of upcoming shows. And by the way, you can also check out past shows, all the podcasts, all, I think, what number are we on? I think something like 60, all 56 previous shows are listed there on my website, and you can check them out to your heart's delight. Today, kind of a different show for Between the Synapse. A bit of unfortunate activity going on in Houston, Texas, as well as Texas in general and Oklahoma. It's been a very unusual spring in that it's been very wet, and not just wet, but we had a number of thunderstorms. You know, for example, not that this is significant in a, you know, whole kind of meaning of life kind of thing, but my son's baseball team, he only played half the schedule because of weather-related issues, just to give you an idea of the weather that we've had. And it just had gotten worse and worse to the point over this past weekend, it got really bad, and it was bad in the Hill Country and in Austin, and they had some horrific flooding, and in Dallas and in Oklahoma, and some people died in some very, very unfortunate incidences. And Memorial Day, like a lot of people, we went over to some people's houses and we're having a barbecue, and the sky started to get dark, and you could feel the pressure dropping, and, you know, everybody's starting to check their weather apps and the radar, and you start seeing all this red, and it gets creepier and creepier, and time to head home. And I don't think anybody expected what the night would bring, and it was just a horrific amount of rain and lightning, and brought the city to its knees, literally. And there were certain parts of Houston, particularly Southwest Houston, that were completely underwater. And I don't know what the number is, but there were hundreds, if not more, homes that were completely flooded. A number of friends in particular, but many, many people whose homes are completely uninhabitable and will be for the near future. Joining me to discuss this weather pattern that we've been experiencing and trying to understand it and find out if it's something abnormal or something that we should begin to accept as a regular occurrence is Alex Sosnowski. He is a senior meteorologist with AccuWeather, and I want to thank you, Alex, for joining the show. I appreciate your time.
My pleasure, Mark.
What can you share with us about what's been going on lately in this part of the world?
Well, it's been a combination of events that have kind of come together in a strange way, if you will. If you look at the weather maps, And don't take a look at the tropics for a moment. But if you look at the weather maps across the United States, we had a very persistent, strong jet stream in the southern part of the nation. And that took a dip very far to the south over the Rockies. And these upper-level storms, as we call them, would occasionally send out these disturbances across across the deserts where they brought very little rainfall. But then once they came in contact with Gulf of Mexico moisture, they just went bonkers and produced tremendous showers and thunderstorms. And it's not unusual to get, say, one or two of those events maybe during a spring, but the unusual part there was we had probably a series of a half a dozen of those. And as each one came through, of course, covered more and more territory, got the ground saturated, and then beyond the saturation point, everything just ran off. And we're still in that pattern right now. We kind of think El Nino has a player in all this, where it tends to strengthen the southern part of the jet stream across the United States. And we think that's going to be a potential player here moving forward this summer and then on across the southern United States then as we go into the winter. And that doesn't mean that we're going to have every thunderstorm complex that comes through is going to produce this type of an event going on. But there's still that tendency there moving forward this summer that we can continue to see some problems.
All right. Can you explain El Nino and there's also, I guess, an opposite effect.
Right.
You know, every year you hear, you know, oh, there might be El Nino or something going on, and sometimes there is, sometimes there isn't, and, you know, then you always hear this, oh, scuttlebutt, oh, well, this must be El Nino, and people have no idea what they're actually saying.
Yeah.
So can you clarify that?
You can't pinpoint everything to El Nino, but there's other things that go on in the weather pattern, and it gets very complex. But certainly the El Nino southern oscillation, as we call it, is the official term. And what that's referencing is the sea surface temperatures in the tropical Pacific. The Pacific Ocean, of course, is a huge body of water, and it is a big player in the planet's weather. But this temperature oscillation that we see, it fluctuates from warm to cool in these cycles. Some years it's kind of averaging out in the middle. Some years it's cooler than it should be or cooler than average, let's say. That's called a La Nina. And in years when that water temperature there is warmer than average, we call it El Nino. Simple laws of physics here. If you have if the ocean water temperature is warmer than average, you're going to tend to get more shower and thunderstorm development over that part of the ocean. And that tends to get streamed in, if you will, to certain parts of the globe. And we think that was a player here with our event that we had this spring. We do think it's going to back off a little bit here over the next couple of weeks, but it's something that may continue to kind of rear its ugly head, if you will, periodically moving forward in the winter. And a positive to that, of course, it's broken our drought, unfortunately, with tragic loss of life and tremendous damage. But it often takes a very strong weather system like that to break a drought. And we see this time and time again in the field in various parts of the nation, maybe not so much hooked up to, say, an El Nino event, but just a strong storm system. It takes a very strong system in general to break a drought pattern. And a little more good news there is if the pattern holds moving into the winter, we may see that the California drought get busted big time in the same matter if we get that series of storms to develop off the Pacific Ocean like we often see during an El Nino winter.
Now, I guess you mentioned La Nina.
Part of the same machinery there, if you will. The Pacific Ocean surface temperature fluctuates from warm to cool. Some years it's right in the middle of the road. Some years it's warmer than average. That's El Nino. When it's cooler than average, that's La Nina. And when the water's cooler over the eastern Pacific, we tend to get dry conditions across a good part of the southern United States.
Right. So does that contribute to the drought that we've had then?
We think that had a big player in it. There's always some other factors that get thrown into the mix, because you have other oceans and other fluctuations in ocean water temperatures that we have to consider, and indeed we do. But we think that's a big player, and it probably had a lot to do with what was going on. You don't necessarily have to have a strong El Nino or a strong La Nina to have significant events like we've just experienced over the past several years.
All right, well, and I want to ask you about that as well, but just on the Ninas and Ninos real quick, what do y'all have any idea in terms of what contributes to these temperatures going out of the appropriate zone, meaning being too cold or too warm?
Well, I want to correct you there. I don't know if we can say that it's too warm than it should be, or too cool than it should be, or too warm or too cool.
Okay.
This cycle's been going on as long as we've been studying the weather, and it goes back approximately 100 years when they've been studying this fairly closely.
So
it's probably been going on a long time before that,
right,
since we've been studying it. So fluctuations in ocean water temperatures are kind of the norm. If it didn't happen, the planet might be in more serious trouble, because everything would be status quo. You would have weather systems that wouldn't move at all, for example, or you would have a drought that would never end, rain patterns that would just never end. At least there's some variability there to kind of get the rough part of the weather out of the picture once in a while.
We'd all be living in San Diego, is what you're saying.
What's that?
We'd all be living in San Diego.
Well, they've got some rain this spring too, believe it or not. You've been hearing about drought in California, but they actually had some fairly decent rain there in the past month, and it was part of the same pattern. These upper-level storms were dipping down into the west. Now, they didn't bring much rain, say, to Los Angeles or Sacramento, the San Joaquin Valley, but they did bring rain to parts of Southern California, and it's part of those same systems that we were getting involved with here, except we had the added bonus with the Gulf of Mexico being so close by, these systems were able to tap into that.
All right, so you know, I'm lived in Houston quite some time since '88, and so this is the third time that I've experienced what I would call extreme or extraordinary flooding.
No stranger to that. I mean,
yeah,
it's been going on for a long time.
The first time was in '94. And that was, I believe, related to some form of a remnant of a tropical storm or something like that. The second was Tropical Storm Allison, and then there was this. And this is the only one that was not related to, you know, some form of a hurricane or like event. And that's what seems so strange about it. And that's what, you know, I think really surprise people.
Well, it is curious, and indeed that may be the case. It would take quite a bit of research, but I can tell you, being a native of Pennsylvania, this type of setup with just non-tropical thunderstorms repeating one after another has caused tremendous flooding. The Johnstown area, Pennsylvania, has been hit by these things several times over the past 150 years, and pretty much the same setup where you have a training effect of thunderstorms that forms to the northwest, and they keep riding off to the south and east over the area. One storm will die, a new one will form upstream and run across the same area, and that's pretty much what's been going on across parts of Texas. And to kind of get back to the forecast part a little bit here, we're not quite out of the woods here yet with this particular pattern. There's still one more system that has to come through into the first part of the weekend, the caboose, if you will. But at least from a good news standpoint, it doesn't look like it's as strong. But then again, the ground's already saturated across the area, so it won't take as much. So we still have some dicey weather to get through here over the next several days. Then we think we get a break in the pattern coming up, starting late in the weekend into next week for much of Texas. Dry air moves in, and that zone of showers and thunderstorms will shift farther to the east, say over the lower Mississippi Valley and parts of the southeastern United States. So we're going to get a break here. We just have to sit tight and just keep an eye on the weather here over the next few days, because we will continue to have these clusters of thunderstorms moving through until about Saturday night or so.
All right. Well, I guess we can wait that out as long as we know there's something on the horizon. Because when you look at the forecast for the 10-day forecast and it's thunderstorms, every single day.
Right.
Yeah.
What are the mean thunderstorms versus the run of the mill? And there's still going to be a tendency right along the upper Gulf Coast to get some of these drenching storms. But I think overall, if you look at the broad picture, say for Texas, Oklahoma, the Southern Plains, there's going to be much less thunderstorm activity next week into the following week compared to what we've been experiencing here much of the spring.
Well, good to know. Good to know. Well, listen, I really appreciate you coming on the show and helping us understand a little bit about what's going on. So I want to thank you once again, AccuWeather Senior Meteorologist Alex Sosnowski. Did I get that right?
You did. You nailed it.
All right.
It's been my pleasure.
Good. Thanks again, and appreciate your time. All right, we've got to take a break. We'll be right back on Between the Synapses.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
There are over 140 million products manufactured worldwide. It is impossible to know the ingredients in these products, especially those made overseas. Stan Salat, creator of the HSF Mark and the Counterfeit Mark Alliance, is the host of People to People, working together for your safety. Stan believes in our right to know the type and amount of hazardous materials in consumer products and whether they are counterfeit. Find out how you can protect yourself every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Variety. Tune into the Voice America Variety channel on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Voice America Variety broadcasts a diverse array of topics reaching a global community. Our experts come from all walks of life, and the topics they discuss are everything from current events, arts and entertainment, leadership, parenting, relationships, self-improvement, career advice, and a variety of other topics. Check us out today. You're sure to find something of interest. Voice America Variety. Talk on today's hot topics.
What can you find on Get Real Radio? Well, quite honestly, who you really are. Join host James Robinson each week for a program designed to reveal more about yourself and your world through words of wisdom and profound guests. You'll discover more about the spiritual movement and how it can work with you and alert you to problems you may not be aware of. It will educate, titillate, and enlighten your mind. Get Real Radio is broadcast live every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. This could end up being the best time of your week.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one Internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Between the Synapse with your host, Mark Tobin. If you want in on this week's discussion, please call us at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to mbt@betweenthesynapse.com or on Twitter at @BetweenTSynapse. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to Between the Synapse, and thanks again, once again, to AccuWeather Senior Meteorologist Alex Sosnowski. And I guess the best takeaway from his joining the show is that though we might encounter some additional bad weather through this weekend, that after that, it looks like we should have some return to normalcy with some drying weather, though there might be some occasional small storms that we are used to during this time of year that we will be experiencing some drier weather and at least for the time being. So let's hope that is the case for folks around here because it has been It has been tough. So We're going to be joined in just a few minutes by a couple of folks who really took the brunt of the recent flooding, and their neighborhoods were hit particularly hard, and they're going to be sharing their stories. We're going to have them on the phone in just a second. So, you know, one of the weirdest things, you know, I'm looking for news while this is going on, and I see this headline about Colin Kaepernick, and he's apologizing for a tweet, and I'm like, what? You know, how could somebody, you know, be apologizing for something, you know, about this? And apparently, his Twitter handle is something like Seven Storms Coming, and so he tweeted, I warned you, the seven storms coming, with a Houston hashtag. Like, who thinks to do that? You know, anyway, I don't know when Houston plays San Francisco or if, but certainly that will be on game. Next, we are joined by Dina Magelson, and I hope I got that right. Dina, you there?
I'm here.
Dina, is that the right pronunciation, I hope?
That's very close.
Close enough. Thank you so much for joining us. I know this has been a very trying week for you, and I understand that you were in a neighborhood in Southwest Houston, which was particularly hard hit,
Yes.
And not only did your home experience some flooding, but particularly some of your neighbors did. And if you could just sort of share the experiences of Monday night with us here at Between the Synapse.
Sure. So around 12:30, we noticed the water on the street was starting to rise, and coming up quite quickly. There were some cars parked in the street that we could barely see. And we have an elevated house. Our house was raised after Allison. So it's about 3 to 3.5 feet higher than some of the other homes in our area. My next door neighbors and I were in touch, and about probably 1 o'clock, the water rose a lot more, and they had no more place to be because the water was up to their beds. So they climbed through their windows. We got them across the roof.
You got them across the roof.
Onto their roof. They're right next door. We had them come across to our garage roof and into our upstairs window. We have 2 floors. And
far distance is that between your roofs?
Far enough. You know, the water was so high that one of the little boys is 9 or 10 years old. He wouldn't have been able to touch the ground. I mean, the current was strong. It was, the water was too high. So they jumped from their roof over to, we have a fence that separates the homes, and then onto our garage roof, which is close to the fence. And, luckily nobody fell. So they came in through the window. Then maybe another 40 minutes went by, and the neighbors that are kind of catty corner to us swam over on a raft and went back and got their animals.
Did they actually have a raft, or was it a makeshift kind of thing?
Well, we have it was a makeshift, but at this point, we had 3 dogs and a cat in our house, one of which was ours. And then we have another family that lives maybe 5 or 6 houses down the street that have 3 little kids. And it's a 1-story that had flooded before. So they were the only house that had flooded a few years back when we had a big storm. And so my husband and one of the other men and my son and the other boy that are 14 and 15, they went down with our pool. We have a pool, so they went down on our pool raft, swam down and put the kids onto the raft and swam them back. And these people had to jump off of the top bunk the bunk beds off of the top bunk to into the water to get to their window. They had to submerge themselves under to get through the windows and come back up.
They were in the first floor house in their bunk bed, and the water was above their window line?
Yes. My husband's 6'4". He was out in the water trying to touch ground, and he was on tippy toes. It was up to his chin. So it was pretty deep, and it was gushing. The winds were really strong, so very frightening for anybody to be out in that. And then, of course, it's sewage water, which is from the bayou that had overflowed, I guess, into our neighborhood. But we got them in through our windows because at that point they had already come into our house.
And how much water came into your house?
We were lifted above the flood line, and we still got water. So,
about how much came into your house?
We got just under a foot, enough to damage everything. You know, sloshed around and sat in here the sewage water for hours and hours. The water in our neighborhood, I think, didn't go down until 2 in the afternoon. People could start leaving our house.
I'm so sorry, crazy. But I'm happy that everybody in your house is safe, and you were able to save your neighbors.
Yes, it was. We're all very grateful that everybody is safe here. The police or fire department came by around maybe 11:30. We saw some boats coming into our neighborhood to take some kids, a family that had a newborn baby and then two other kids out of their attics. It was crazy. Never imagined anything like it.
So people were, up in their attic and just holding up there and waiting?
Yes.
They just finished
the $6 million renovation on the road, on our road in particular, our street, which we hadn't flooded since Allison.
Listening, by the way, Allison was a tropical storm that hit Houston. That was in 2001.
Correct. So we have not had any water anywhere near entering our house, and since then, and now that they've done this $6 million renovation, it seems that something must have backfired. I don't know. We're all very, very confused.
And that's one of the things I noticed was I remember in Allison, because we flooded in Allison, but the water went down very quickly by about 6 in the morning. Mm-hmm. But, we weren't able. We fortunately didn't flood this time because we built a new house. But the water, we weren't able to get out on our street till I think around noon.
It didn't go down.
Yeah, it was strange. And I'm not sure why this time, what the difference was. But there were a number of streets still impassable, even for a couple days, I think. So let me ask you. I know how traumatic this is and how difficult it is when something hits you like this. Do you mind if I ask what is y'all's plan of action? How are you dealing with this, and how is your family dealing with this, and your neighbors, and what's the temperature of folks?
So we're waiting for an insurance adjuster to come out tomorrow and take a look and tell us, what we can start doing. We have already opened up the sheetrock to let some of the moisture out and the water come out. We have to take the floors off because they were submerged in sewage for hours and hours. I don't really know. I don't know what the next step is to do. That's the most frustrating. We don't know where to begin. Nobody knows what to do. My family's okay. I'm fortunate. I have family in Houston, and we've been able to go sleep over at their home and had lots of friends offering their help. We just don't know where to start. So once we figure that out, I think we'll be in a better place.
And have you all found that there have been agencies or the city, have they been helpful or have they been around? What's been their response?
You know, the workers that were on our street for all those months are suddenly back. So they're not helpful to us, but they're on our street. So that's as much of the city as I've seen. I noticed.
What are they doing now?
I don't know. They have diggers out. I'm not sure what they're doing. It's interesting. Maybe they realized what they did wrong. If something was done wrong, I don't know. But that's as much of the city as we've seen. And I've seen Red Cross arrive today. They haven't come to our house yet, but I don't know what they're doing, if they're just gathering information. And other than that, it's just a lot of vendors coming out and trying to get our business. So,
Right, yeah.
Eventually, when we're ready, we'll have to, you know, we have our choice of people around here to choose from.
No shortage of that.
No.
And so I take it that your whole street then, was everybody affected?
There are two homes on the end of our street that were built up probably 5 feet, and they are okay. They lost their cars, that was it.
Right. Were these new houses or just people that...
New houses. You know,
mm-hmm. New, and 5 feet, wow.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, they're completely fine, able to live in their homes. Very fortunate.
Well, it may be lonely for them for a while, though.
Right. It might be, because I think every other home was affected. And if you drive through our neighborhood, it's absolutely insane. Really crazy.
Yeah. Well, I, you know, as I have seen before, in Allison, that I and as I know Houstonians and people here, that neighbors will work together and people will figure it out. And I know that it will take a little time, but people will figure it out and get their lives back together. And I know
Absolutely.
You will too. And just take some perseverance. But I want to thank you so much for sharing your story.
And, sure.
You know, just to compliment you and your family and for taking the risks that y'all did, because you may not have thought about it at the time, but what you guys did was risky. And you never know what's going to happen when you go into that water. And you guys did that, and you very well may have saved some lives. So you should know that, and I think everybody's thankful for that. So thank you for sharing the story, and thanks for taking time from taking care of your family and your house. And good luck.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right, thank you. All right, we'll be right back. Bye-bye. On Between the Synapse. Take care.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you or someone you know interested in attending college? With both college tuition and college enrollment up 60% since 2002, there is a lot of competition, and careful planning needs to be a part of the process. Tune in to Getting In, a College Coach Conversation, hosted by Elizabeth Heaton, and featuring a team of college coach experts. We'll bring you the tips, techniques, and know-how to navigate the road to college and do so the smart way. Listen live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
All around the outermost rim of the shield, he set the mighty stream of the river Oceanus, creating Achilles' shield in Homer's The Iliad, Book 18.
Rachel Carson in The Sea Around Us said, "All at last, return to the sea, to Oceanus, the ocean river, like the ever-flowing stream of time, the beginning and the end." Moyer's Environmental Dialogues with Dr. Rob Moyer offers lively dialogue and revealing narrative inquiry into how individuals are overcoming obstacles and creating a greener and blue planet Earth. Tune in Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Have you become a member yet? Sign up now to become a member of Voice America. It's always free and easy. Plus, you get to take advantage of some great member benefits. Get unlimited access to millions of hours of on-demand content across all of our channels. Keep track of your favorite episodes, shows, and hosts in your own customizable library. Find out what shows you might be interested in based on your favorites. Plus, you get insider access with our newsletter. Membership gives you more. Sign up at voiceamerica.com and click register at the top right.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Between the Synapse with your host, Mark Tobin. If you want in on this week's discussion, please call us at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to mvt@betweenthesynapse.com or on Twitter at BetweenTSynapse. Now, back to the show.
All right. We are back on Between the Synapse, and we are broadcasting from what is now reasonably dry Houston, Texas, and I'd like to stay that way for at least the near future. Thank you for listening. If you want to call in and talk about either what's been going on in Houston lately with the flood, or if you have any stories you want to share either in about Houston, Texas, or anywhere else where you've experienced the kind of flooding that we've had, please call in. The number here is 866-472-5788. That is 866-472-5788. You know, as I said, first of all, let me just thank again our recent guest, Dina Magelson, for taking the time. I know that she was busy working on her home and doing the things that are necessary in order to help preserve it, and really appreciate her sharing her story, which really unbelievable. People climbing from rooftops, people diving from the top bunks to down to get out of their window. The water was so deep, just crazy stuff, in order to get out of the floodwaters. And so I really appreciate her coming on the show. As I mentioned, our home flooded in Tropical Storm Allison in 2001. And so we have an idea of what people are experiencing. And in that case, our home started to flood, and we had young children and decided to leave. We lived in a one-story home at the time, went across the street to some neighbors whose home was not yet flooding. Their home started to flood, and we left there and eventually went to the only, at that time, only two-story home on our block. They were out of town, and so we actually broke in to that home, and eventually probably 30 to 40 people from the street made their way to that house, it being really the only safe place on the entire block. And fortunately, that house didn't flood. It came close, but it did not. And since that time, our neighborhood really went through a major transformation as people rebuilt with houses that were much higher. And while the water was very high on our street, we were fortunate and did not flood this time. By the way, it wasn't the first time I had to escape in a flood. In 94, my car got stuck. It was a dark and stormy night. I was leaving. I couldn't tell where I was, and all of a sudden my car wouldn't go, and I actually had to escape through my sunroof. So, you know, I guess if you live in Houston, everyone's going to have a story of being in the flood. That's where Stevie Ray got the lyrics. All the telephone lines are down. Well, it's flooding down in Texas. All the telephone lines are down. So, Stevie, we know what you're talking about. The questions I think that a lot of people have, because if you have these kinds of weather events which just seem outside the norm, you know, is climate change. And didn't really have an opportunity to talk about that with our senior meteorologist from AccuWeather, but, you know, and I don't think that there's a clear-cut answer anyway, but what is the effect of climate change on these kinds of events? Because they do seem different, and they just seem more extreme, and that's the question that at least I have when you see these things. It's not that we haven't experienced flooding in the past. It's just the nature of we either have drought or we have flood. We just can't have something where it's kind of in between. And that's what seems to be striking myself, and I think a lot of people, as odd over the last few years. You know, we can't just have a rainstorm. We have to have, massive lightning strikes with it. And I joked on the other show the other day about my lightning app tells me, you know, how close lightning is. And, you know, the thing just kept going off like crazy every, you know, minute or two. You know, lightning, you know, 2 miles from your house, lightning 0.5 miles. And then for a while it was, you know, lightning, you know, 0 miles from your house, lightning 0.5 miles from your house, just repetitively, to the point where, you know, I just started to ignore it, which probably not a good thing, but nonetheless, it was just constant. And so, who knows what, how constant this kind of extreme weather is going to be, but I think that's really what everybody's question is. And when you see these things, as I asked the meteorologist Alex Sosnowski, what's going to happen, next? You know, he says that, you know, California needs this kind of event in order to break the drought, and I certainly hope that happens. But certainly would be nice if we didn't have to rely on these kinds of catastrophic events. And the fact is that I don't recall a non-tropical hurricane-related event causing this kind of flooding, at least in Texas. I understand that does happen in the Midwest, but down here that just usually has not been the case. So we'll see. All right, we got to take one more break, and when we get back, we will wrap up this show on flooding down in Texas. So stick around on Between the Synapse.
Thanks again for joining us this week.
The leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you or someone you know interested in attending college? With both college tuition and college enrollment up 60% since 2002, there is a lot of competition, and careful planning needs to be a part of the process. Tune in to Getting In, a College Coach Conversation. hosted by Elizabeth Heaton and featuring a team of college coach experts. We'll bring you the tips, techniques, and know-how to navigate the road to college and do so the smart way. Listen live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
All around the outermost rim of the shield, he set the mighty stream of the river Oceanus, creating Achilles' shield in Homer's The Iliad, Book 18.
Rachel Carson, in The Sea Around Us, said, "All at last, return to the sea, to Oceanus, the ocean river, like the ever-flowing stream of time, the beginning and the end."
Moyer's Environmental Dialogues with Dr. Rob Moyer offers lively dialogue and revealing narrative inquiry into how individuals are overcoming obstacles and creating a greener and blue planet Earth.
Tune in Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Have you become a member yet? Sign up now to become a member of Voice America. It's always free and easy. Plus, you get to take advantage of some great member benefits. Get unlimited access to millions of hours of on-demand content across all of our channels. Keep track of your favorite episodes, shows, and hosts in your own customizable library. Find out what shows you might be interested in based on your favorites. Plus, you get insider access with our newsletter. Membership gives you more. Sign up at voiceamerica.com and click register at the top right.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Between the Synapse with your host, Mark Tobin. If you want in on this week's discussion, please call us at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to mbt@betweenthesynapse.com or on Twitter at BetweenTSynapse. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to Between the Synapse. I am Mark Tobin, your host. Just a quick reminder, check out my blog at BetweenTheSynapse.com. You can check out previous podcasts as well as sign up to receive notice of future shows. You can also tweet me at BetweenTSynapse, or you can check out my Twitter feed there and sign up. Also check me out on Facebook at Between the Synapse. And you can also email me if you're so inclined at mbt@betweenthesynapse.com. I think that about covers it for social media and all forms of communication. So we were going to have one more guest talk about her experiences during the flood, but I suspect that her battery on her phone may have given way. She had mentioned something about a battery issue, and that might be it. That's what I'm going with. We'll just have to accept that and move on. Hey, by the way, a completely different subject. Anybody following this whole FIFA thing? First of all, Sepp Blatter. I mean, I know that's not an American name, but Sepp Blatter. He apparently just had some sort of, I don't know, like rally. He had they're calling it a Sepp rally, which is kind of funny. And they had all sorts of flag bearers, and it was a performance of Swiss culture. This was the FIFA Congress, and he said during his speech, "I'm sure more bad news may follow." And then, of course, he said that he would continue on in his role, and he's still standing for re-election for FIFA president, guru, emperor, whatever it may be. Anyway, if you're not following the issue, let's see, 9 FIFA officials and 5 corporate executives were indicted by the U.S. Department of Justice Apparently, they were able to determine that some of this corruption occurred within the U.S. and the Swiss, I guess it didn't involve Swiss banking, so the Swiss cooperated and they were arrested in a hotel in Zurich, and they are expected to be extradited to the U.S. This should be a really interesting trial. It's the culmination of a three-year investigation by the FBI. You know, I guess if we can't win at soccer, we will we'll indict him. So anyway, fairly serious charges here: racketeering, conspiracy, and corruption. And I can only assume that of the nine, or I don't know, and then it says 14. Oh, four additional people and two corporations were charged earlier, and two had already pleaded guilty. So of the 14, I can only assume that somebody is going to talk in order to lessen their own punishment, i.e. to save their own skin, and they could perhaps share what they might know about one Sepp Blatter. You just have to think that with all this going on, that the Sepp Blatter cannot be blind and has some knowledge, if not involvement, with all this corruption. And you know, I'm not one to jump to conclusions. I know that innocence proven guilty. I'm a big proponent of that. But in this case, it's the corruption is so transparent that I can't tell you who exactly did what, but that it doesn't smell right. It's like walking into a cheese shop. So as a lot of people have commented, it's about time. This whole soccer FIFA thing is starting to look like boxing. With all the people running that sport and running that into the ground. So I don't know. It's and by the way, even though I'm not a big fan of soccer or football, this is nothing to do with that. It's just a matter of this whole thing is ridiculous. FIFA apparently has $1.5 billion in assets, in cash stowed away somewhere. What do they? It's an organizational body. What are they doing with $1.5 billion? It seems like that could be put to better use. Who knows? Summer is beginning. School, at least for my kids, is officially out as of today. I know that some of the schools here don't get out till next week. Schools around the country, probably some won't be done for another couple weeks. But what are your plans? Looking to do a show on summer. So send me a tweet or an email. As I said, Between T-Synapse or MBT at betweensynapse.com. And let me know what you're doing or what you'd like to be doing or what you shouldn't be doing, but you are anyway. And give me some ideas on what I should be talking about here on Between the Synapse summer show. If you've got some interesting plans, I'd like to hear them. Maybe we'll put you on the show and talk about them. Now's your chance to share with the world what you are doing this summer or what you wish you were doing this summer. As long as it's reasonably legal. as long as you're not working for FIFA. That's all good. So anyway, that's something to look forward to. So once again, I want to thank my guests on today's show, AccuWeather Senior Meteorologist Alex Sosnowski. I want to thank Houstonian Dina Magelson for sharing her story. As Alex said, for those listening in Houston, maybe a little bit more rain, thunderstorms for the weekend, but on the backside, hopefully we'll be getting better. For those of you who suffered loss during this recent flood, whether it's in Houston, throughout Texas, Oklahoma, or anywhere else, I wish you the best in recovery from this episode. Rely on your family and friends. Accept their help. And it does look bleak at times, but you will get through it. So I wish you all the best. As for my listeners, thank you for listening. And I look forward to speaking with you next week here on Between the Synapse.
Thanks again for joining us this week. Mark Tobin and Between the Synapse will transmit once again next Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. And remember, you never know what lies between the synapse.